Okay, so we only have one cheer left. So I wanted to at least address at some point this year, but whatever. The Sugyan in on Kuftedam and Bet, two Kuf Yud Bet, as much as we can in this 2.5 blot. And that is the problem of what is the Sugyan Kuftedam and Bet, and on Zugo, the problem of pairs. Now, last year we spent several shirim on demons, Shadim, and whether they exist, and what do they mean, and how are they used in the Gemara, etc., etc. So we're not going to rehash all of them, but I want to at least begin discussion of Zugot in particular, because it's not actually the identical Sugya. Now, again, if you want to go back and listen last year to all the different possibilities of are there demons, are there not, but I want to highlight the complexity a little bit in this Gemara. Okay, that's what I want to do. We have like 50 minutes and this is it. You know, you guys start flying out in like 72 hours or something like that.
Monday.
What?
Monday.
Yeah, so isn't that like 72 hours? No?
Yeah, oh no, go on.
A little bit more. A little bit more. Is it Monday
Thursday.
afternoon? 4 days?
Thursday.
Fine, 4 days, whatever it is. So, okay, I'm gonna raise some points as we go along. And again, this is just gonna begin the discussion. Don't blame me. We don't have more time. So it's now this sugya is actually huge. It goes from Kuf Tanam and Bet to Kuf Yud Bet.
We can see
Okay?
that number out.
What?
It's multiple too.
Oh, God.
Wait, so what is
So the bottom of Kuf Tanam and Bet says as follows: Lo yifchu tu lo me arba. You can't have less than arba kosot of wine. Okay? What I want to do is make points along the way that are going to force you to think about this. Okay, that's what we're going to do. Again, disclaimer, this is not all exhaustive, and I'm not going back through the question of demons. You can listen to what we did last year. Heichi mitakin rabbanim yidi ati be lidei sakana. The Gemara said, I don't understand. How could you have arba kosot? How could Chazal set something up which brings you to danger? Danger? V'hatanya lo yochol adam Tray below yishte tray. You shouldn't eat in pairs. You shouldn't have an even number of things. So if you had two cookies, tell your parents, "I need a third cookie, or I am in danger." And they'll say, "Next time, I'll know only to give you one." Below, don't drink two cups. Lo kanech tray. You shouldn't wipe yourself in pairs. Lo yaseh trachav tray. Nor should you have sex twice. So if you have sex twice, you have to have sex a third time. That's what.
No.
I don't know.
You can't ask any question.
No question.
No question.
This is the
So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Krav, Leil Shimurim. It's okay, because Pesach is a night of watching. Layil HaMishumar Uvamin HaMazikin. It's a night which is protected from Mazikin. Rav Amar, and Rava gives a different answer, which is a combination of weird, mystically, I don't know, whatever, demonology, and halacha, which is, so possibility one is, kos shel bracha mitzarif l'tova v'ena mitzarif l'ra'a. A kos of bracha only adds to the good, but not for bad. Or then, even more lumdishly, Ravina Amar, and I love this, it's a great line. This isn't four. It's one plus one plus one plus one. For arba kasi tegramot derechirut, Chazal said of four cups in ways of chirut, chad v'chad mitzvah b'fnei atzmahi. And each one is the its own chalos. It looks like four. It's not four. It's one plus one plus one plus one. Oh, what? No,
I'm eating one cookie. I'm eating a separate cookie.
Yes.
So
why are you asking questions like this?
Now, so again, like I said, for the millionth time, I only want to open this discussion. So when you start this, sure, I'm sure some of you, the first thing you want to do is, well, are there demons? What is this mystical forces going on here? What is going on? Do they exist? Etc. So you should know, there are some who believe that sometimes you find in Chazal discussions about certain things that were dangerous, and they were no more, no less than Chazal recording what people believed in the area. And therefore, there are some who speculate that this must be a Zoroastrian thing, because the Zoroastrians as did some of the other groups in the area, the Manichaeans and the like, were dualists, right? They believed that there was the force of good and the force of evil, and therefore two might have had a negative connotation, and maybe they're capturing it, which is possible. I will point out, though, and we talked about her last year when we did the demons question, that Sarah Ronis in her dissertation, her dissertation is just on these 2.5 blots. So if you want to read 559 pages on these 2 blot, yes, I did twice. I did a chazar on it this year. Great. Also an excellent dissertation called Do Not Go Out Alone at Night, Law and Demonic Discourse in the Babylonian Talmud. It is on these 2 blot. She notes that this is actually quite questionable from a historical perspective, because we, despite the fact that it is true that among the Manichaeans and the Zoroastrians, they're dualists and they believe in these 2 powers, we do not find any, at least evidence of now, it doesn't mean we won't find it, but we don't find any evidence of their being concerned about Zugot, right? So to merely chalk it up to they're recording it, because regardless now of whether you think Chazal would do that, right? Before the Frum question, she just says from an academic question, she's not sure that this is the case, because it's one thing to speculate, but just because you know that their religion had a dualist component doesn't mean you can now imagine that with no evidence that therefore they didn't like the number 2, right? I mean, you could do whatever you want, but she is very not convinced by this. Again, I'm no expert in Zoroastrianism or Manichaeism, but she is, and so are the other experts in the field. They distinguish fine, yeah. So that's the part of the, right, so that's the next problem, right, is theoretically you could have made the argument that Chazal didn't believe in it, but people believed it. So this is what I wanted to focus on more, exactly. And this is what, because I was trying to think, do I even bother doing the Zugot Sugya when we spent so much time on demons last year? I wanted to, for the reason that Ezra's picking up on, is that the problem with this Sugya is much worse than the demon sugya. And that is the main insight I want you to understand when we walk out today, is that whatever conclusion you want to come to, this sugya is much, much more difficult to deal with, because it is not presented. It's not a story. Right? It's not a story about a 7-headed demon that you bow, and every time you bow, its head falls off. Right? That's a Gemara in Kiddushin. Okay. Right? Yeah. Because whatever, metaphorical, who knows? Here, the Gemara is asking a halachic question. And this is Ronis' main point, right? Which is many, many, many points. But one of her main points is, if you read the sugya carefully, over the 2 blot, you will notice that you have to come in with a preconceived notion that this is not real and or not halachic to believe that this is not halachic. If you just read the sugya without any preconceived notions, the way the Gemara starts off its discussion is, how could we have arba kosot? Right? The same way we would have a stira. How could you say that you do X? We have a brayta that says Y. Oh, parents. That's exactly how this goes. How could you have arba kosot? It's usher because of zugot. Either kosher bracha is a mitzaref, or it's not really 2 + 2. It's really 1 + 1 + 1 + 1. It's a chiluk. Think about the longdos. Each mitzvah. I mean, it's like, and it's going to get worse. Okay? Again, we're not going to read the whole thing, but I want to show you. I want you to at least think about the, I'm sorry that I'm going to leave you in questions. Right? Because, and again, if you want to go back to the demon ones from last year, that's fine. What I want to point out is how problematic this Gemara is for someone who wants to take the assumption that this is, well, it's all metaphorical. Someone got it. They didn't really believe it. All that would be great if it didn't sound so unbelievably halachic. Yes. Yes. Correct. This is worse. Demons get into it. Yeah. Now, I will point out, I was debating, if I had more time, I was going to do this. There was a very interesting article I can send you that suggests, and he goes through some proofs, that perhaps, as some of you know, there is a minhag of the Chatzi Fifth Coast, right? Yeah. Fifth Coast, the Kosh El Yahu. Very good. So there is actually a theory out there that emerged from this sugya, that this sugya is explaining how you could have 4, and that the 5 kosot was an alternative tradition that emerged to solve the problem of Zugo, to make it odd. I understand, but that is an old. I understand. I'm just. I'm not spending a lot of time on it. I'm throwing it out there. So the Gemara says lo yasach of trei. But now just listen to how glumdish it sounds. The Gemara says, wait a second. You just said that the arba kosod are 1 + 1 + 1 + 1, but then why shouldn't someone be allowed to have sex twice? Most people who begin engaging in physical relations don't know in advance that they will have sex twice, right? They plan once and then maybe, right? So it's 1 + 1. It's not like they go in, right? Which everything about this line is odd, right? Meaning, first of all, it's like, right, it's like chalois shame of one act of physical intimacy, and it's like the kavana, and it's getting to the psychology of what do people who are having sex with their wives, are they thinking they're going to have twice, or is it that they have sex and then they change their mind, decide to have again, right? Meaning, it's like the lumdus, sorry to be crude, but the lumdus of this, and what it's doing lumdus on, and comparing the acts of physical intimacy to the arba kosod, which are chaluyot of 1 + 1, and sex is the same way. I mean, you read this Gemara and you're like, everything about this Gemara is unbelievably weird. And also sounds unbelievably halachic. Right? And the Gemara says, and the Gemara says, Amai nimlochu. He changed his mind. Amar Abai, hachi kamar. I mean, listen to the language. Lo yochal trevi yishter trevi lazer chav afilu pam achat dilma chalu shumitra. Is that you shouldn't eat and drink in pairs, but if you do, you shouldn't have intimacy at all because you'll be weak from the zugot.
How long?
Right? Doesn't answer. And then the Gemara goes beyond that and says, Tan Rabbanan, shote kiflayim, you drink twice in pairs. Damo birosho, your own blood is on your head. The number of Yuda imatai. But when is this? Right. So this is like a sugya. Bisman shelo ra pnei ashuk. If you didn't see the marketplace, I'm a ra pnei ashuk harishut biyado. I mean, listen to the language. This is what Ronis does. He goes line by line. If you went to the shuk, harishut biyado, not you're safe. Harishut biyado, you have authority to do this. You have permission. Amar avashi. And then we have, just like we would in a halachic story, what do we have? A maisa hamisayeya, a story. Chazeno leil rav chinina v'charanyo barbibi the akol kasa having nafik v'chazay apei shuka. That after every cup, he would go out l'mahadrin, right? To gzeira otu, he would have a second drink. He would have a drink, go to the shuk. Drink, shuk. Drink, shuk. V'lo amran el lotzei laderech avoveit alo. But this is only a problem if you're going to travel.
Right.
Right, but now suddenly the Gemara gets right all very conceptual about this. Says, but traveling is a problem. But if you can stay home, it's fine. And Amar Reb Zera belishon to lotzei laderech dami. But if you sleep, it's as dangerous as traveling. Oh, because you're going to go to sleep afterwards. I don't know. Amar Papa lotzei laderech akitze and going to the bathroom kilotzei laderech dami. It's like traveling. And then the Gemara says ubeveito lo. What is not then dangerous in your house? The harava money kashure. I mean, just listen to the language. How could you say that Rava would count by the beams of his house to keep track of the number of cups that he had? Kasha stira vabaye kishati chad kasa menaket leime trei kise betrei ade. And Abaye was more machmir. Whenever he would drink, his mother would hold two cups, so that it would always be odd, right? He'd have 1, 2, 3. He would drink again 4, 5, right? Always. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Yavishati Trei Kasa, Binagile Shamei Chad Kasa. And when he would have two, his Shamash would be there giving one. Chad Kasa, it is he had one, Binagile Trei Kasa, Bitrei Adai. And the Gemara says, I don't understand. This shows you that you have, that even in your own house, you have to be worried. Adam Chashuv Shaini. Now, Adam Chashuv Shaini, we say, but like Bishul Akum. I mean, like, right? It's so formal. Now you'll tell me, okay, maybe demonic, the demons that are invoked by Zukot, they like attacking Adam Chashuv more. I don't know the mysticism mind. I don't know what's going on. The point is that this Gemara, right, it is halachic. Right? Sounds halachic. But then, one sec, yeah.
Okay, can you pick on the line that the Rishus is in your house? your hand. So, is it saying that, so at first, in the beginning, it sounds like a worry if you do things in pairs, because like, I mean, like technically you can, but then you'll get possessed. But later on, it's saying that it's allowing you to. Are you not allowed to put yourself in
possession? That's very good. It sounds like it's usher. Yeah, because you're not allowed to put yourself in danger. Yes, that's my point. My point is that it sounds halachic. And then, but then watch what happens. The Gemara, right, sets this up as this huge rule, halachic and everything. What is the, after setting up a conversation which sounds halachic, what does it immediately do? Starts narrowing it, but tries to narrow it basically to non-existence. So then the Gemara says, Amar Ula, Asara Kosot Ein Bem Shum Zuko. 10, not a problem. Why? I don't know. Ula Latai Mei Damar Ula V'Amar Ula Nidatana. What's his proof? Because Asara Kosot Tekinu Chacham in Beit Avel. Because in Beit Avel, which is one of the amazing things, they would drink 10 cups of wine. Yes. And then the Gemara says they went up to 14, and that was when they got drunk. Because between 10 and 14 were people's limits, apparently, at that time.
Right,
okay, fine. The Is Al Kadaitach Asara Kosot Yesh Bimshum Zuko. If you thought 10 was a problem, Heichi Kamirabon Vitakinu Milta Dazi Levi Zakara, how could Chazal be Metakin Aval Tamnaya Yesh Bim Zuko? 8? Asar. Rechistab Rav Rabhuna Dharmi Javayu. Shalom Litova Mitzarev. Lara Lom Mitzarev. Shita Yesh Bim Zuko. They say that 8 is also safe. Why? Because 8 is really 7, which is represented by the word shalom, plus 1, based on the 7 words in the final pasuk of Nesiut Kapayim.
First.
Right, exactly. What? Right? There are 7 words in the third pasuk of Birchat Kohanim, so therefore 7 doesn't count. So the 7 is good. It's 7 plus 1. It's fine. Aval shita yesh b'mshugot, but 6 it's a problem. And a robber of Yosef Dami Shavayim, no vichuneka. But the second pasuk in Berachah Kohanim, it has 6 l'tova mitzayif l'ra'ah lo mitzarev. So 6 is also not a problem because it's 5 plus 1. Aval arba 4 yesh b'mshugot. And Abayi v'Rava Dami Shavayim, wait, what about the first pasuk? It's only 3 words. Aha vishmerecha. Anytime you have 4, 4 is really 3 plus 1 because of Yishmerecha, of Yishmerecha, Hashem Yishmerecha, L'tova Mitzarev, L'ora Mitzarev. So therefore, it's only 2. And then the Gemara says, aye, what about Rava? Vazda Rava L'tayim Eid. The Rava Afkinu L'Rabbanim Barba Kosot Avakav the Itzak Rava Bar Levi L'chash La L'mel Tadam Rahu Mishum Dovin B'Perkei Havei. Rava allowed them to have 4 because he held 4 was not a problem, which is another answer. Great. However, Rava once did this and he got injured. Now, Amar. Yes. Correct. Now, the answer would be that according to this, yeah.
No, but Rava initially said that there's the reason that you're allowed to have 4 is to put a couple separate from the pairs and whatever. So why didn't you just answer?
He could have, yes. Now the Gemara does imply that this is about demons, because now it brings a whole discussion about Ashmadai, the king of demons. Right, so Amar of Yosef, so now the Gemara suggests that it is about demons, because Amar Yosef Sheda, Yosef the Shade, right? Now this is something we pointed out with her, that demons are very weird in Chazal, because sometimes they're good demons, and sometimes they seem to be like halachic discussion partners. Right? So, and he told me, Ashmodai Malka Deshedi, Zugot are the worst. Because it's not just that demons attack you, it's Ashmodai Malka Deshedi, the king of the demons, Mamunahu Akulu Zuge. It's his personal responsibility to deal with Zugot. Umalk, but nevertheless, he's not called harmful because Umalka lo ekre mazik, because he's the king. And kings cannot be called harmful spirits. Igadamar lahagisa. He said, or alternatively, Adar Abba Malka Ratchanahu. No, maybe kings are angry. Mind the Bayavich HaMelech Paritz Geder Lasot Lo Derech Vein Mochem Yodah, because they can do whatever they want. They build a path, no one can stop them. And Amar Apap, Amar Yosef Sheida, betray Katlinan. If you have 2, we'll kill you. Ba'arba Lo Katlinan, 4 no. Ba'arba Maskinan, but for 4 we will damage you. Betray, and there's another Chiluk. I mean, thinking about how lucky this is. Betray, Bein Bishogeg, Bein Bimazin. By 2 will hurt you whether you did it b'shogeg or b'mezid, because that's the worst zugot. But arba, but by 4, b'mezid in b'shogeg lo. It's going to be worse than that. Halavai, they brought a pasuk. It's going to be worse than what they actually bring. So then the Gemara goes all types of, and then the Gemara says, wait, I have a solution. Oh, God.
Lie to them.
Deep breath. Nope. The ishleve ikri unifak. What happens if you forgot? You go outside and you had an even number of cups. Maita kante. This is the solution. I'm just reading the Gemara. Linkud zvakva, zakva diyadi diamina biyadi dismole. Take your right thumb in your left hand. Vizaga smola biyada diamine, and your left thumb in your right hand. Vename achi, and say like this. Atun vahana hatlasa. You and my thumbs, together we are three people. We are not a pair. Vishmiele, and if he hears a voice, the Amar Atun Va'anan, and the demon says, no, you three plus me, Ha'arba, we're four. Namele, Atun Va'ano Ha'chamsha, no, we're five. Vishmiele, the Amar Atun Va'ano Hashita, and if they, no, we're six. Namele, Atun Va'ano Hashiva, we're seven. Bame Uvda Admeya Vechad, and if you do this until 101, Pakasheda, the demon bursts in anger. It explodes. Oh, you're so frustrating. Boom. It's like a cartoon. I mean, like, what?
Yes. And you all got done. You forgot. Yeah.
Right now, the Gemara goes on, right, goes in that it's not just about demons, it's about witches. So the Gemara continues that Amar HaMeimar, Amarli Reshatinu Dinashim Kashvaniyot, if you see witches, you should say the following. Right, hot feces in torn date baskets in your mouth, witches. May your hair fall out because you use them for witchcraft. Your crumbs, which you use for witchcraft, should scatter in the wind. Ibador tavonaichi parcha zika lemorika chadita dinakitu nashim kashvaniot adahanchi v'chanein v'chanein chilo atichu lego. Your spices should scatter, the wind should carry your fresh saffron that you witches hold. As long as I was shown favor from heaven and you showed me favor, I did not come here. Now that I have come here, your favor toward me has cooled and you should find favor. Wonderful. You think it got weird. It's about to get weirder. Because up till now, I said, it sounds halachic, right? So, if something is halachic, what is like the number one thing we know about things that are halachic?
Objective.
It's objective. Very good. So what is the last thing you would expect after an umud where I showed you that it sounds halachic? What is the last thing you would expect?
A subjective sort of.
Good. What would the subjective thing be?
Oh, maybe.
You don't believe in that, that it doesn't affect you.
Correct. Is the next line. Bimarava lo kapti azuga. But Eretz Yisrael, they just don't care. What? Like, what are you doing? I don't understand. We just spent an umud plus telling me it's halachic and da, da, da. And this is something that many academics have pointed out, that in general, the Yerushalmi barely talks about demons, barely talks about all this stuff. And the Bible here attests to it, yeah, in Eretz Yisrael, in Bavel, we're clearing chakiras and making chilukim and ukimton, and we're having longish conversation with demons to figure out the parameters. And Eretz Yisrael, how did they deal with this?
Because it's Israel, it's holy, it's...
I don't know. Right? So now... now, Dovi, now, if you wanted to confuse someone even more, guys, so now, after an omelet plot of saying that it is halachic, then it throws it all out and says, oh, Eretz Yisrael, they just don't care. So now you say, okay, so it's not halachic? Very good. Then what would you think the next line should be? I don't know. It's either what are they arguing about or okay, fine, maybe it's not halachic. No. In the same breath, it says, in Eretz Yisrael, they don't care. And Rav Dimi min Arda, kapir afila rosh mada chavita. So in Eretz Yisrael, they don't care. Rav Dimi is super machmir, and he doesn't even write two symbols on a barrel. So you know, in Eretz Yisrael, they don't care. And Rav Dimi is machmir l'mahadrin min ha'mahadrin. Because what happened? Because of the Uvdo, because once it happened that he wrote on it, Upaka Chavita, and it exploded. Now the Gemara says, and this is among the weirdest lines in all of Shas, okay? So now you want a rule. So the Gemara says, Klal of the Melt, I'm going to give you the Klal. I'm going to give you the halachic rule. So what do you expect? If you didn't know the next line, don't tell me if you know the next line. If I told you now, what do you expect the next line to be? Klala de milta. Right? We went through a halachic thing. We said, Eretz Yisrael, they don't care. Right? What would you say?
Either don't care
Right? So you would think either we care or we don't care. Now the Gemara gives you... Very good. So the Gemara gives you the least intelligible line, which is Klal de Milta. This is the halachic rule. Kol de Kapid, if you care, Kafti Bahadei, then it matters to you. Ude lo Kapid, and if you don't care, lo Kafti Bahadei. And if you don't care, you don't. Now, don't you think you should have told me that an Amud ago? Why didn't you just say, Arba Koshod, we don't care because in Bava, we don't care about demons. We don't care about Zugot. That would have solved it. No, we do care. In Eretz, they don't care. That's the rule. But, and now they'll say, Umihu, but remember they don't care? Umihu, lemechash mi bai. But you should be worried. Not too worried, just a little bit worried. What? Good. And now, what's the problem? What have you expected the entire time? What have you been looking for the whole time? A source. A pasuk, maybe. A source. So what happens in halachic discussions when something is a given, you just know it's true, but you have no idea where it's from? Ki atar Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi said, Amar shtei beitzim u'shtei egos u'shtei kechuin v'davar acher, the halachot of two eggs, of two nuts, of two cucumbers and something else. Halacha l'moshe misinai. There's halacha l'moshe misinai. Umistab kul rabbanan. Maini udavar acher. And the rabbis weren't sure what is that other thing we're talking about. The gazer rabban bekulo zugi mishum davar acher. And because they didn't know the one other thing that zuga applies to, we were gozer l'chorra on all things in pairs. Zera atu. The one thing we don't know what it is. Safek. Safek, no, but it's a safek halacha l'moshe misinai lechumra. What? What? Ah, now the Gemara says, but wait a second, right? And then it says, and by the way, remember we said that zugot only applies to 2 and not to 4, 6, and 8, and 10. That's true, but it's also not true. V'ha damran asara. You said the 10, 6, 4, the 10, 8, 6, 4 are not zugot. That's true. Lo amran elulin in mazika. That just means that the demons won't attack you. But the witches, afilu tuvanami chayshinon, doesn't matter. Any doubles, the witches, and I'll prove it to you. He often that who gavra the garsha the devitzu, because there was this guy that divorced his wife who happened to be a witch. Adzla inzaba lechenva'a. She married a storekeeper. Kol yom avayazav shavati chamra. And for some reason, the first husband go to his ex-wife's second husband's bar every day and drink wine. Brilliant idea. And every day, his wife was not happy with the situation. Havdika of the lake shove him. So she would hex him. Okay? But her hexes didn't work because he was very careful not to have cups of wine in evens, right? In even numbers, in pairs. But yomachad ishte tuva. But one day he got so drunk, he forgot how much, he stopped counting. Oy gevald ad shitzar. Makes sense because he got to 16 cups of wine. You know, Zekvar Havit Soyel Vizdar Navshe. He said, Until 16, he was lucid and he could count. Mikan Voelach, after cup 16, you know, counting started to be problematic. I wonder why. Lo Havit Soyel Velo Vizdar Navshe. So a Pikte Bezuga. He left the bar having had an even number. I don't know, 20, 24, I don't know. Kiavi Ozil Gaspe Utaya. And as he's leaving, an Arab merchant comes to him and noticed he was hexed. And Amr Lay, Gavra Ketilahu Dazulahacha, I see a dead man walking. And the guy apparently knew what to do because, you know, he'd been married to the witch. Azul Chaplay the Dikla. So he went and he hugged a date palm. Savach Dikla Upakahu. And the palm tree dried out. He transferred the hex into the tree. It dried up and exploded. No, sorry, and he burst. You're right. He didn't manage to do it. He died. He burst, yes. Or maybe it burst. They're different gears out, I believe. What?
Why is everything exploding?
Because it was hexed. I don't know. No, obviously, what? right now. Again. So now, right, and then the Gemara gives you more rules, right? Then the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Avira Ka'aro V'Kikaron Ein Mishum Zugot Kol Demilta Shagamri Adam Ein Mishum Zugot." Right, if it was fixed by people, no problem. Government is Shamayim Mila Mina Demeichel Kaisinan. But things from God, that's a problem. If it's food, then it says by a store there's no Zugot. And if you change your mind, there's no Zugot because then it's 1 + 1, not 2. And a guest has no Zugot, and a woman has no Zugot unless she's a chashuv woman. And then there is Zugot.
What's a chashuv woman?
She's important. Then she has to be where good. And then the Gemara says, what about asparagus, which is a wine-based drink? Oh, that adds only for the positive and not the negative. And Rava said, well, what should you do if you're not sure whether you had Zugot? L'chumra, what are you supposed to do? Have another cup, right? But Zugi l'kula, right? You shouldn't have another if you're not sure, right? And then the Gemara says, 2 cups of wine and 1 cup of beer doesn't help you. But 2 cups of beer and 1 wine, that apparently works. Right? The Gemara says, what's the rule? Anything that attaches to something more chamor. Tomei minakal mimenu tahor. Right? From taharo. Right? I understand that. Right? Right, then the Gemara goes on. Right now I'm going to start skimming a little bit. The Gemara says, anything which is mixed in, right, if you dilute the wine, it doesn't matter, but if you dilute it with water, it's not considered diluted, so it does count as a zugot, right? And then it talks about what about hot and cold, right? And then the Gemara said, there are 4 things that if you do, your blood is on your head, right? Going to the bathroom between a palm tree and a wall,
yes.
And if you go between 2 palm trees, you drink borrowed water, blah, blah, blah. And the Gemara elaborates on all these different cases. You can walk over poured water. And then, right in the middle of Kuf Yud Aleph and the Gemara says, in all these cases where we said that you don't have to be worried, that's only if you're only worried about demons. But if there are witches,
witches,
you really have to be worried about. What? I don't know, right? And the Gemara goes on like this, right? And the Gemara gives you remedies, right? And the Gemara gives you cases of what happens if there's 2 women sitting there. Right, and then it gives all types of other weird things, like if you run into a woman, or right, in the middle of Kuf Yud Aleph, the Gemara says, "I'm on the pug of itza be done at the salka mitvilat mitzvah." If you meet a woman and she's coming out of the mikvah, so ihu kadem umeshamesh. If you have intercourse with any woman first, then a spirit of immorality takes over you, the man.
Wait, if you have sex with someone other
than anybody, ihi kadem umeshamesh. If she has sex first. She's taken over by Kante. What should you do? Say the incantation. And then you wanted a pasuk. No. No. So now the Gemara goes into a pasuk that tells you shouldn't sleep under a dekel yechidi, under a single palm tree. Very good. That brings you on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Bet. Right? If you relieve yourself by a stump of a palm, you'll be seized by a spirit and half of your head, right? And then it goes through 5 types of shadows,
yeah.
Right? And all the evil shadows. And then it tells you that there's a demon, a ruche, that lives near the caper bush, and there's the she that lives by the sword bush, and the rishve that lives in gardens. And then the Gemara says, Lamai nafkamina. Lekmeah, to tell you what type of amulet you should make, because you need to know what demon you're dealing with. And then the Gemara says, if you see the caper bush demon, it has no eyes. So what? That means you can run away from it, because it can't see you. Right, good. What?
We know that we're going to come get you.
Yeah, now you're like, right? And then the Gemara tells the story of the person who was attacked by 60 demons. And then it talks about the demon of Ketiv Miriri, yeah. Right? And, right, all different types of things, some more demons, takes you all the way to the bottom of Kuf Yud Aleph, right? Goes on, then bloodletting, et cetera, okay? So, and then, it ends with the Shavrire, Bire, Rire, 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 right? What?
Oh, Shavrire, Bire,
Yes, that's the way that if you... That's the Gemara says. Logista mayim mina nahar b'lomen agamim balayla. You shouldn't drink water from rivers at night. Imshata dam roshav. You do. Your head is on your own. Your blood is on your head. Maya mipnei sakana because of danger. Maya sakana sakana shavrire. The shavrire demon. Right, the demon of blindness. If you're thirsty, what do you do? So if there are other people with you, you should say, so-and-so, son of so-and-so, I thirst for water. Tell yourself, planya amra le'imi. Right, say, my mother told me to beware of shavri. Is darim shavri, shavrire, brire, rire, yiri, re. Just say his name like, na-na-na-na, Nachman, just in backwards order. Right, making it shorter rather than longer. Tzachina maya bekasechirure. I thirst for water in white earthenware cups, and this is apparently an incantation. And then the Gemara just says, and now let's talk about the tamchli. Right, and goes on to halacha. So, okay, that took us to like half an hour just to run through it. But again, what I wanted to point out in this again, which we left last year, because last year again, we talked about, do you believe in demons? Do you not believe in demons? Do you believe that no one ever believed in demons? Or are you capable of saying, I don't believe in demons, but maybe someone else did, and that's not heretical, right? And all the...
Or did you paskin demons out of existence?
No, or did you paskin demons out of existence, right? But what I want to point out here, right, and again, what I think is... Guys, what I think is important about this sugya is to understand just how much this sugya requires you to really analyze your assumptions. Because the problems that make this sugya different than, let's say, all the Agadot that are about demons are that, A, the discussion is so halachic, right? It is so halachic, right? It's brought up in a halachic context, and the Gemara is giving teyutzim and giving, right, chumrot and giving, right? I didn't say it isn't. Secondly, the Gemara says, calls it halacha levoshim misinai, which is the classic source when we say something is very, very real, but we don't really know why. Right? It invokes halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. I mean, that should scare you a little bit, right? That it invokes halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. So on the one hand, you'd say it's halachic, right? It sounds halachic, and it invokes halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. It must be, you have to believe it. Mitzad Sheni, if it was really halachic, if it was halachic, yeah, then why can the Gemara say so calmly? But in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't matter. And the rule is, klola demilta, a formal halachic language. I'm giving you the rule. If you care, it matters. If you don't care, nish keferlach. But you should care about it a little bit.
But also don't care about it.
But don't care about it. If you care about it too much, it'll attack you. If you don't care, it won't bother you too much, but it'll bother you on the margins. Like, be worried, just not too worried. I mean, the Gemara is pulling you in different directions, right? There's this halachic language and this halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai language on the one hand. And then there's this like weird, but if you care, you care. And if you don't care, you don't care. And then you also have this very odd, right? On the one hand, the attempt to, right? A classic methodology when something is problematic is even if you can't eliminate it, what do? You narrow it. So you see the Gemara doing that. Okay. We said pairs. We didn't mean pairs. We meant two, right? Maybe not 10, maybe not 8, maybe not 6, maybe not 4, 2, right? So you're like, oh, look, it's narrowing it, right? The Gemara, it sounds like this broad thing that I really have to deal with. In the end of the day, right, it's 2, and it's only a 2 that you can't conceptualize as a 1 plus 1, right? But then the Gemara has the counter thing. It's after narrowing, and it's like, except if there are witches, then you should be worried for everything and anything that has to do with even numbers. Right? And again, in the same sentence, the Gemara says, in Eretz Yisrael, they don't care. It says, but Rav Dimi was machmir, even about writing two symbols, because when he didn't, his wine barrel exploded. Right? So you look at the Gemara, right? And the problem is you look at the Gemara, that mitzad echad, right? It has indications that it's not really halachic, right? If you don't care, you don't care. On the other hand, it's called an halachah Moshe Mi-Sinai. And in the same breath that it says you don't care, it says Rav Dimi is suma rachmir, misafek, from experience.
When it says halachah Moshe Mi-Sinai, does that make it a derecho?
Whatever you think halachah Moshe Mi-Sinai is. Right. What? Now, of course, halachah Moshe Mi-Sinai might be another way of saying, I don't know what the source is from this, right? Sometimes, and it doesn't mean it literally. I don't know.
It seems clear that none of us really know
No, b'chol not. Right? So, and again.
You can't assume you really know anything.
I didn't say I know anything. Wow. Did I say anything? I said, look, like I said, my... Guys, what I said here is the following, right? Is that... Now, there are other things that you have to note. That it's not just that this Gemara sounds halachic. Is that many of these lines have parallel sugyot. So, for example, the asparagus sugya, right, has a long discussion in Brachot Nun Aleph about all the halachot around asparagus, right, about this wine mixture thing, right? So it's not even like, right, that's also part of the problem. It's not even like this Gemara stands alone. Right, is that a lot of these lines have right, parallel discussions. And again, think about how halachic it is. The Gemara goes to asparagus, and then it starts saying, okay, is wine count, is beer count? The Gemara says only in one direction, based on the more chumer ones, the more make it one is mechuber, just like by Tuma and Tara, right? I mean, I agree with Ezra that I have no idea. Like, I literally have no idea. It's not like I'm going to come here now in the 10 minutes I've left, I'm going to tell you, I understand the demonic forces of Zugot. I don't. What I wanted to do in this year was to highlight the major problem here, right? Is that unlike many of the Gemarot about Shadim, this Gemara, and again, does anyone deny this, right? That this Gemara, the problem with it, the methodological problem, is if you don't want to believe in the problem of Zugot, is that mitzad echad, the Gemara says you don't have to care. You don't have to care a little bit, but don't have to care that much. And then the halacha, most of this is not accepted. Like, we don't care at all, right? I assume even Eretz Yisrael, but I don't know. Great. No, this was going before that. But again, my point is, right, my point is that, right, in general, as we've talked about, right, the line between halacha and agadah is not so easy, right? And the more halachic something is, in general, the more we are hesitant to treat it as just all allegorical, especially when, again, if I didn't have a preconceived notion, which admittedly I do, right, then I come into this again, I don't, you know, have an intuition that if I do things in numbers of two, that I'm going to be attacked by the king of the demons, right? This is not my, right? This is not my, I don't know if you noticed, this is not like my my normal, right, you know, thing. But it is hard to deny that the line between halacha and agadah, and just writing this off as either agadic or writing it off as this is what people were, right? Because you could, now, in the end of the day, yes. If you wanted to, right? If you wanted to. Now, let's just talk methodology. Again, we're not going to exhaust it. We have 8 minutes left, right? Right? If we wanted to, so you tell me. If you wanted to minimize the sugya here and say that it's not really real, what, right? What would you pick up on? What would you do? Right, you would pick up on the line of manda lokapti lokapti nilei, and then you would start saying things like, it's psychological, right? Like, in that world, people believed it. So if you care about it, right, maybe you shouldn't care about it, but if you do care about it, right, it's like saying that, listen, you shouldn't care about the number 13, right? You shouldn't be thinking it. But if you do, and you know that you're afraid, and then you do something, number 13, right, psychologically, you're going to be looking for something to go wrong. Again, so if you wanted to say that it's, I'm just outlining methodology, I'm not going to draw conclusions today, right? If you want to do that, you can go back to the demon shir we did last year and all the different possibilities. But again, if you were looking at this sugya and you wanted to come out with saying, no, this is not really halachic, right, that's where you would go, right? You would start with manda lo kapti lo kapti nimle, the fact that in Eretz Yisrael the b'chal didn't care, which implies that it's not like some deep truth of nature, because if it was, Eretz Yisrael wouldn't just like entirely not care. And the Gemara, it's not like the Gemara says, like Rudy says, oh, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is what helps you, right? It's the fact that in Eretz Yisrael they just don't care. That's what saves them. So again, you would come up with something like, it's psychological, right? It's you shouldn't care. But if you do, and you know yourself, right? If someone was brought up in a culture where they thought that a black cat was, you know, dangerous, then, yeah, maybe they shouldn't cross the street after they see a black cat because you shouldn't believe in it. But if someone knows that they do, right, you could see someone saying, listen, you know what you do. You know you're going to be reckless after that because you're just expecting something bad to happen. Right? Oh, 1 second. That's one extreme. The other extreme is what Dovi said, is that you could look at this Gemara and say, listen, if I come in without any bias, right? So I'm not really sure why it is the Mandalo Kaptilo Kabdinan lay, right? Maybe it's because the demons, right, like they have a thing with bothering people who dwell on them. Right, or give them power, and once they know they give you power, they know they can mess with you and everybody else if they want to. Mechalash mi bai, right? Like, don't look over your shoulder, but don't care about it too much, right? That's obviously the other extreme, which is even if you don't have, like, you've never met a demon, so you don't have a strong belief coming into the sugya with demons. But Dovi says, if you want to be honest, when you open the sugya, there's a lot of reason to believe that what the Gemara is saying is real. It's presenting it halachically, it provides formal halachic rules, it even invokes halacha. Lamosha Misinai. Now, we talked about last year that the other thing that emerges from this sugya is that on the one hand, right, the Gemara is talking about demons. But on the other hand, what does the Gemara do very interestingly, even in this sugya? Much more in other places, but even here you saw it a little bit. That too, but also it brings them in. They're not these forces, right? So one of the problems people have with demons is that they are like these forces out there, right? But here, what do Chazal do? So first of all, they bring in the halachic system. And not just that. They're even barley plukta. They're even like, they have conversations with them about this. Meaning, the rabbis, to the extent that they talk about demons, they're not these like forces out there that are against godliness. They're just another thing that follows rules in this world that you can have a discourse with them. Right? So on the one hand, I don't know what a demon is. On the other hand, the demon of Chazal are not, right? They're forces that you can negotiate a halachic sugya with them. You talk to them and they tell you the rules, right? What? Why? Why is that? Why is that crazy? Well, okay, fine. But no. But which is more crazy? To say that there are these demonic forces that have like ultimate power, or there are creatures in this world? Don't ask me what they are. But just like we have rules in life, they have rules, and if you break the rules, so there are consequences, right? I mean, it's this odd thing, and we talked about it last year a lot more. But that they are, on the one hand, yes, they seem to be talking about demons. On the other hand, they are dragging the demons into the language that we recognize, which is halachic rules. Here's the halacha. This is when you can hurt us and then when you can't. If we do this, there are consequences. And how do they know? They talk to the demons, right? And the demon says, listen, this particular aspect of demon is by that demon. And that demon is led by these rules, right? So it's like, on the one hand, they're talking about demons. On the other hand, they are rabbinifying, right? Demon-ness, right? I don't know what you want to call it, right? It's so odd, right? And this is, you know, one of Ronis's points, right, is that Chazal seem, it's whether they actually mean demons or demons for Chazal are a way of talking about, you know, the in and out and danger and things like that, and it's just what they use, right? When you realize that what Chazal are doing is they are incorporating into the halacha and ksugya, right, you realize that it is a way that halacha talks about them. Right? Meaning they drag them into halacha. They don't just say, because one of the problems that people have with demons is what are these forces that are like, you know, contrary to God's will? In Chazal, when you read carefully, that's not what they are. They're other creatures that are bound by rules and halacha, just like we are. Right now, Kobe still says, oh, but what are these demon things? Oh, other things with free will. Again, that goes back to last year's shir. But the point that is, on the one hand, yes, it's weird that they treat it very halachic, but they treat it so halachically that they think that the demons themselves are constrained by rules, right? That also is very telling, right, about it, and that also gives you a language to say, well, maybe, right, once you start saying demons are things that keep halacha, maybe they don't really mean demons. No, right, maybe it's just that the language they use, right, that there are forces in neighborhood, maybe we can't quite explain them, but we realize they function by rules. Right? Meaning, look, when it comes to demons, we mentioned this last year, that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik thought that demons
were bacteria, meaning they were things that at the time of Chazal were not yet explained. Right? Like there's clearly a rule. There's clearly something actually happening. Right? That causes it. And if I do certain actions, right? Meaning if I didn't understand germs, you could say, wait, if I wash my hands for 20 seconds and I sing happy birthday twice. Right? That was what we said. Remember this is what we said during COVID, right? Wash your hands with soap, right? For this amount of two happy birthdays. So if I told you, if you wash your hands with this colorful liquid while singing happy birthday in your head twice, then you will not spread disease, right? And I told you the original story. You know the famous original story of how they figured, right, the most famous story at the beginning of bacteriology.
What?
No, there was a very famous hospital where there were two wards for delivery. There was one by the doctors and one by the nurses. And the one by the doctors had like a 50% mortality rate, something like completely insane, right? And somebody, I think it was Semmelweis, right, said that, or eventually tried to figure out why is that the case, and the one on the nurses' side who were less expert, it's not. And eventually he suggested he was right, but everyone made fun of him, right, was, because the doctors would go from cadavers to them, right, and they didn't know about bacteria, so they were bringing the diseases. Everyone made fun of him, and he died an outcast because people thought it was so crazy. What, the doctors are bringing it? Something we do? What, are you crazy? And it turns out he was right, right? And he said, all you should do is wash your hands. And people said, but he didn't know yet about germs. And for the few weeks that they did start washing their hands, when they did, the mortality rate shot down. But everyone thought it was like magic. What is it? I wash my hands, and suddenly people aren't going to die. Yes, right? But we couldn't explain it. Right? Because we didn't know bacteria yet. But so that's what Barnes and Edward Garden, and that's what Chazal are doing. Right? They don't know, but they know there are forces, and there seem to be certain rules, right, that if you and procedures that if you follow them, you'll be safe. So you could look at this sugya with a very Barnes and Edward perspective, which is listen, Chazal understood there were some things they didn't understand in life. Right? So they try to find rules, right? And they treat it with halacha. Are they making a firm claim that there are demons? Or are they saying there are things we can't understand? Right, but the best we can do is some sort of empiricism, right? Meaning the person isn't irrational if he says, I see that when you wash hands, the mortality goes down, and therefore you should wash your hands, even though he doesn't yet know about germs. It's not irrational, it's just unexplained empirical data, right? So you could say, if you wanted to solve it, that Chazal are in the spirit of Ron Soveitchik, Chazal, they were seeing, I don't know what data they saw, but there was some data. Right? And they're trying to explain it, right? And they're giving you rules, and they're halachifying it, right? Are they firmly claiming there are demons, or are they saying, look, and then you would say, okay, but if it turns out you're wrong, right, that you saw certain empirical things, you tried to, well, then it turns out that that is not the case, and we can explain it other ways, so maybe it's not halachic, right, which is the way, in the end, we sort of poskim. That's not crazy, right? And that's sort of a middle path, right? So there's the one extreme, which is, from here you see this is like, it's not real, it's just Chazal sort of, you know, capturing some myth that people had that made them, it's psychological, who knows. The other extreme is it sounds halachic, it's real, you must believe in demons. The middle approach to say something like, Chazal are doing the best they can, there's certain empirical data or whatever that they're trying to, or maybe experts in their time, that they're reflecting on, and they're doing their best to use halachic language to figure out, does that mean you have to firmly believe that they believed in demons, or maybe they believed in certain forces they couldn't see, which is not irrational, right? The same way we say, okay, so was it irrational for someone to believe that washing your hands saved lives because he saw that it happened, even though you didn't know about germs? It's not irrational, it's just not explainable. Call it a germ, call it a demon, I don't know, right? Now again, if you want to, I will tell you, I did not claim to be, you know, and again, you have to deal with the fact that Chazal, it's not just that there's definitely Bavli Yerushalmi, that would be one thing, but that the Bavli itself owns that fact, right? That is a very critical point here, right? It's not just, because it's one thing if the Bavli says it, the Yerushalmi doesn't, so you say two different perspectives. It's another thing for the Bavli to say, we care, and it's all they don't, and that's okay, on something which is fundamentally a Metziut point, right? That's a very important data point that you have to keep in mind. So again, and I will just repeat this, one second, is that this is not meant to be exhaustive. Right? If you wanted to be exhaustive, go back to last year. We really tried to go through all the things in deep. What I wanted to show you now and highlight now is how hard it is sometimes to figure out whether something's halachic or not. Right? How hard this sugya is among the demon sugya because of halachic its frame, because it invokes halachim Shemini Sinai, and how hard it is to analyze a sugya like this when there are such contrary implications, right? Everything from mandel kapti lo kapti, like to halachim Shemini Sinai, in the same breath, right? That is such a crazy thing, and to realize that when you methodologically try to figure out, is this just agadic, right? Or capturing people's, you know, superstitions? Is it real or somewhere in between, right, where it's Chazal grappling with an empirical reality they can't quite explain, right? Right, you have to go in with an open mind and realize the unique complexity of this sugya, right? That's what I wanted you to walk away with. That carefully reading the sugya, you can't. It's not as easy like this sugya with a lot of agadot about demons. It's saying it's all, right? It's all a mashal. It's all. It's very hard to do that here because of how halachic it is. Because it invokes halacha Moshe Sinai. That doesn't mean you can't. Right, I'm not saying you can't. I'm not a big demon person myself, but I don't know. Okay, that's what I wanted to do with you. I wanted to just get the conversation going, or at least to show you the complexity of some of these. So, you have to understand. Again, I've now given you at least the beginning of a mahalach of how you could read this literally, how you could read it totally not literally, or somewhere in the middle. Again, we don't have time to plug it in, but again. To just literally read through the two blot and realize just how different the sugya is very, very important. I'll leave you the last question,
Delvey. On the point about Tom Bobby and your Tom Bobby owning it, I think something that's noted in the sugya at least is that they note that the Hashem woman has to work out, or a regular woman doesn't, and when it's descending from 10 cups to like 2 cups, it says it's because of Hashem is so important.
Yeah.
It could be. That we know that one of the reasons we follow Babel over.
It could be. It could be that the Babel thought they were more chashuv and therefore they wanted to go to demons. Yeah, that's possible. I don't know. Oh, yeah, it's coming. Yeah, no, it could be. It could be it's a way of talking about chashuv. It's not impossible, yeah? That's a good question. Why do we say shalom? I don't know. Okay, anyways, it's been fun learning Gadot with you.